We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everyone. This is Hockey Talkie. There is hockey in the air, Jesse. Preseason is almost over. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch any at all, but it makes sense that it's almost over.
It's still hockey. It's on TV.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I was watching, what was it, Die Hard 2, I think, instead of preseason. So
that's probably a wise choice.
I don't know. Die Hard 2 is bad.
Is it?
Remember, didn't we watch? I watched some of it.
It's not the greatest.
No.
But preseason hockey is not the greatest.
Also
either.
Not the greatest, true. Is the sequel of hockey.
So there's lots to talk about this episode. There's a lot of news happening, a lot of injuries in the preseason, which sucks.
Yeah, for early drafters, this is rough.
Oh, can you imagine like drafting like a week ago and then like these big injuries come out and you're like, oh, I missed 5 months of Corey Perry.
Yeah, I was in a points-only league draft last week and someone took Perry, so... and there's no replacements in that league, so rip.
Yeah, good luck.
To Perry, yeah.
Good luck. Yeah. That's kind of why we push our draft day to like as close to the season as we can. We're drafting today. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you got your list ready?
It's all up here. Point to my brain.
They can't see that on the podcast. All right, you guys know where to hit us up at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. We're answering. Sorry, I can't talk today. Lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of rosters going up there that look pretty interesting. I'm surprised that people are getting Nuge so late.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing with McDavid, but a lot of people are getting him as like their 10th forward and stuff.
That is true.
Which is very interesting to me. Okay, let's go into the news first before we get into some players that we wanted to mention from the preseason. Let's talk about Corey Perry first. 4 to 5 months, he's out.
Yeah, he's toast. This is great news for Andre Case, who I recommend as a replacement.
Does he slot into the top line there?
Yeah, he's a right winger. So in the preseason, they're using some guy named Troy Terry, I think his name was. Someone I've never heard of.
Have you seen what he can do?
Terry rhymes with Perry, so I guess that's kind of cool. But beyond that, I don't know anything about the guy. Yeah, there he is, Troy Terry, number one right wing. I think it obviously should be Case for some reason. I guess they put him on the second line for now. But he had pretty good numbers and a full year of Getzlaff. Well, yeah, 5 months is pretty much a pretty good chunk, 50, 60 games.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah, September? So October, November, December, January, February. So February is when he'd be back.
Ugh.
If he like has the recovery and everything goes well.
You know what? I was already steering away from Corey Perry.
Yeah, I didn't want to piece him at all.
This is just now saying no.
Yeah, so hopefully this, if you haven't drafted yet, this is like the nail in the coffin, obviously, because like I didn't want any part of this dude because he's declining like a madman, and this is only going to speed up his like regression into nothing if he can't recover from this. Like I said, I like Case as a replacement. I think they'll leave the second line mostly intact of Silfverberg-Henrik.
Yeah, Silfverberg. They've been playing good in the preseason.
So beyond that, that's the most long-term injury we have.
Other one that sucks because he was one of the guys that I brought up during our flag episode, or the guys that I liked, was Seth Jones. He's out a month.
Yeah, that's going to change a lot of things, even especially our draft tonight.
Yeah.
Seth Jones is probably a top five defenseman for us anyway. Fantastic player. I mean, obviously the replacement is Werenski. How long Werenski gets the role till he gets back. Seth Jones kind of feels like a superhuman guy, in my opinion, like a Carlson. I feel he's going to heal in like 3 weeks and be back.
Yeah.
Kind of what I feel is going to happen. So I wouldn't get too distraught on him. I'd probably still draft him and just stash him for the few weeks.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. Do you draft a guy that's out 1 month?
Yeah.
Or do you wait for waivers or a free agency?
Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, if an IR spot is worth it, if you don't, it's tough because, I mean, he's still going to outperform any defenseman you draft, like, fifth or something.
Yeah, like, if you pick up, like, a Chara or something, he comes back in a month, he's going to get more points than Chara, which makes sense.
Yeah, so you just have to see where he's at kind of thing.
Play the value game.
There's a chance I probably just still draft him maybe as my third defenseman and then just stash him because we get an IR spot and then just pick up a rando, just fill for the month kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, I feel he'll heal fast and be fine. He's super young and seems... Yeah, I think he'll obviously he'll be great. So,
And you know what? After our podcast episode came up when I said that he was one of my defensemen to watch this year, all of a sudden I'm seeing it in magazines all over the place.
Yeah, it's true.
Like the next hockey news that I got in the mail... It was like, oh, Seth Jones, look for him. And he has like this big like 3-page article. I was like, oh, they must be listening to the podcast.
Yeah, not so sneaky of the player anymore.
I guess people are starting to come around on him. When a defenseman goes out like this for a month, how much does it affect your drafting of people like Panarin or those forwards?
Not a lot, to be honest.
No?
Seth Jones is amazing, don't get me wrong, but he's no Carlson. I think Columbus will still be fine. They still have Werenski to... quarterback the first power play, and he'll do an admirable job, I'm sure. Say if there wasn't a Werenski or someone, then it would be a concern. But you still draft them, I think. I mean, you can knock them down one or two spots in your brain, but not rounds. I mean, like, but just no, I don't think I would. Yeah, I would still draft because I drafted Panarin in my other league, and I would draft him at the exact same time if I knew the same injury was out. So. Yeah.
I lean to the same thing.
Yeah.
Don't overreact.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's the theme of this podcast is don't overreact because we're going to be talking about preseason guys.
That is true, actually.
And don't overreact to those preseason stats that you're seeing and don't overreact to these injuries. Torrey Krug was seen in a walking boot again.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So he had a season-ending injury last year in the playoffs. I told you this before the podcast, I don't like these ones that are hard to get over.
Yeah, lingering injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, right? They just can't get over that injury and it plagues them for a little while. McAvoy probably jumps up a couple more steps in my mind, but you have to see where Krug is come season.
Yeah, I still think Krug's going to play and obviously be fine. Maybe he's just taking it easy. I have no idea, but obviously walking boot is not an ideal thing to see for a defenseman. I'll still draft Krug at value, I'm sure, the same time as I would this year till I know more. But yeah, obviously, if there's anything going on, Krug goes down, then obviously McAvoy moves up, and he moves up a ton because that first unit power play is crazy in Boston.
So good.
So yeah, he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on. Yeah, if you can stash McAvoy in like a random bench spot for now, maybe, and see if something happens. But as is right now, he's not officially injured. He's just in a boot.
Yeah.
Hanging out. So you never know. Yeah, they could be hiding stuff from teams or from the media, etc.
Yeah. So when you're looking at these players that are injured and you want all your rookie news, RotoWorld, RotoWire, really good, right? Follow them on Twitter and stuff to get up-to-date news. If you wanted to see what Krug's status is with his boot, you can just go on there and it'll give you like a little blurb of what each player is like, right? So that's very handy, especially going into your drafts and especially before the season. Use that a lot. And during the season, I use it all the time.
Yeah, they're really good. CBS Sports is also really good for injuries. I think those are the main two I really use.
They usually keep it pretty up to date.
Yeah, and they're usually like, yeah, very cutting edge. So,
all right, let's go into some players from preseason. First one that we have to talk about is the Oilers top line. Or some semblance of McDavid and whoever's beside him.
Yeah.
Because he's dishing out points to everyone. He has 11 points in the preseason right now.
Yeah, I think 4 games or something.
So does Ty Ratty.
Yeah, Ty Ratty had 2 5-point games, I think, which is ridiculous.
You made fun of Ratty earlier in the...
I'll make fun of Ratty for the rest of the year. I don't think he gets more than 50 points. Like, I don't care.
What if he plays with McDavid?
Even with McDavid, he's not going to get power play time. I don't care.
Whew.
But no, obviously they look good. They look really good. Yamamoto looks good.
So McDavid is locked and loaded number one.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any debate in there.
Yeah, no question there, yeah.
I guess the debate in my mind would be there's Yamamoto and then there's Ty Ratty that are both getting points filtered to them through McDavid. What's your temperature on those two guys? You don't like Ty Ratty?
I don't like either, to be honest. I don't want either of them. I wish
steer away from both?
Well, I mean, I wish they put Puljujärvi on the first line and then I'd be like, okay, cool. I can't trust Ratty because he's just like a rando that just got put on the line. He has no past history.
Been in the NHL for a while.
Yeah. But I mean, if Ratty goes cold at any point in the year, like he's done.
Yeah.
Like
they'll demote him and
kick him out of town. Yeah. Like his leash is like so short. That's the thing. Like, I don't want any part of a guy where it's like goes 0-4, like four games, doesn't get an assist or anything, and then all of a sudden they lose the four games. McClellan's like, yeah, okay, this experiment's over. Welcome back to 10 minutes a night. And then they put whoever else up. So that stuff is too volatile for me. Don't get me wrong. If it's your last pick of the draft, and for sure, like, there is definitely value to be had. But me personally, I know today I won't have any of those players on my team. There's no chance.
Here's my way of looking at it. If I have a team full of proven point getters, mm-hmm. like I have Taylor Hall, Thornton, like all these guys that are going to get me X amount of points.
Yeah.
When it comes later in the draft, I can take shots on guys like this that could get me 20 or could get me 70.
I mean, in our league, it's very easy to replace guys, so it's not a huge deal. If you're in a league where you can't move or make any trades, that's definitely the scary thing.
Firstly, get out of that league. If you can't move and make trades, that's a boring league.
Yeah, I'm in one of those. And there was a ratty pick, so... he's either going to crush or get annihilated. So I am curious to see what's going to happen there. yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, if Roddy has like 11 points in four games in the preseason, he's absolutely crushing. He's on the top line and you can get him, then sure, draft him. But I'm just saying, if you're in, just don't reach and don't take it in a draft where you can't ever get out of it kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
you need to have a backup plan.
Yeah, or exactly.
Something.
You need an escape plan from Ratty.
Abort.
Yeah, like I have no doubt that he'll start the season on the line. I'm sure it makes sense. And I'm sure he'll get a few points in the first couple games and stuff like that, and it'll look pretty good. But over 82 games, I'd be very surprised if that line stays the same over 82 games.
Yeah.
I can't see it happening.
And Edmonton is so, like, win now. Like, they're tired of losing. So, like, the second anything falters, it's just going to be like, oh, we're shuffling the lines and blah, 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 blah.
Like, I don't know. Like, do you think the Oilers make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they have a huge bounce back to where they were a year ago when Talbot had that really good year.
Okay.
And all the pieces clicked. I think they go back to that.
Okay. I'm kind of like the opposite. I think they're just going to, like...
regress more?
Not regress more. Just maybe do a little bit better, but still miss the playoffs. Stay in that kind of... trench. So I just don't think they did anything to their lineup to do anything.
But they didn't personally do anything from the good year to the last year.
True, but they just might have overperformed. I don't know. I'd have to, this is a good year to find out what the Oilers really
are. This is definitely the litmus test
For sure,
to see what they do with that.
But yeah, like I said, so yeah, if you can replace Ratty, sure, draft the kid. He's going to be there to start. But like I said, there will be shuffling throughout the year. There's no way he plays the full 82 with McDavid. So
yeah,
just keep that in mind when you draft the guy. It's not like he's, a sneaker lock for 75 points. Because, as soon as he falls off that line, he goes down to like a 1 in 5 point per
player. Just a depth.
Like a trash 20-point player. Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably a good time to talk about some of the rookies and stuff that are performing in the preseason.
Yep.
So you don't want to overreact to these rookies. And
no,
keep in mind,
especially not preseason,
even if they're making the roster, they still have those 20 games to be sent back down.
Yeah.
And more often than not, unless you're a out-of-worldly talent, you're most likely getting sent down. Clubs tend to wait for players to develop more nowadays,
mm-hmm.
right? Unless you come in and you're like a Brock Besser or a McDavid, then you stay. But if you're even like Dolan, some people are saying that if he struggles to catch up to the pace and with all the talent, that he might go down for a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually not a bad idea about Dolan. They're not going to make the playoffs this year, so.
And that's how teams think. I've had people ask me about...
is it worth burning a year of someone's entry contract where you pay them pennies? No.
Exactly. Right?
So it's really... it is, yeah. It's also business, too. So it's like, do you realistically see you making enough impact? Like, even if Buffalo made the playoffs somehow, they wouldn't win the cup. So it's like, is it worth... because Dolan will future... he's going to get paid eventually, obviously, with the hype.
Yeah.
Unless he just totally becomes a flop. But...
unlikely.
Seems unlikely, yeah. So, you know, it makes total sense. I mean, so you're going to see a lot of guys on the nine... is it 9 games? I thought it was 9 games. Maybe it's 13. I had to look at what the cutoff is.
Oh, I thought it was 20. I always thought it was 20.
I don't think it's that much.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was 9 or 13 or something. I had to look again.
Well, they do have a cutoff.
Well, yeah, for sure.
So, keep in mind that's happening, that all of a sudden you have... last year, this happened to me. I had players on my team that got cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, that player just not in the NHL anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I took Yamamoto last year, the Tyratty strategy, because he was on the top line. Took him for the 9 games. He did okay. And then they cut him, and that was it. And I was like, okay, makes sense.
Free agency, you go.
Yeah, exactly. some big names. Zadina is already sent back to the AHL.
Right.
Detroit knows they're going to be awful. They're not even going to pretend to waste his contract.
Yep.
So he's toast. Montreal is going to start Kotkaniemi. He'll play 9 games. There's no way he plays more, in my opinion. Brady Tkachuk's going to start the team. I think he'll play the full year, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he will, too. There's just no one else there.
Yeah, it's just no other point. Who else was making the team?
I don't, or
was getting a 9-game tryout. There was one other rookie. I'm not really sure.
Well, that's okay. Just keep it in mind that these guys might get sent back down. So don't overvalue these rookies as like the next big thing, even if you like them. And I've been telling people on Twitter, like, maybe this isn't their year, but you already know that player. Mm-hmm. So keep him in your mind for next year. So when they break into the team and they actually get a roster spot solidified, that you already have that player in the back of your mind.
Yeah, no, totally. There obviously will be strong rookies this year. But just keep an eye. Some of them, a lot of them are pretty volatile. Usually the best rookies are the guys that aren't actually rookies. They're kind of like in their third year.
Yeah.
And then they get called up for their actual rookie season. Yeah.
They're more developed.
Yeah, they're usually like 19, 20 kind of thing. It's usually pretty rare that, like, obviously the 18-year-old comes in and just crushes the year, Alan McDavid. But, Panarin won Rookie of the Year, and he was, like, 24. So, I mean, anything could happen there.
Yeah. All right, let's keep moving on. Let's go to some other players that we wanted to talk about. That Nylander contract isn't solved yet in Toronto.
Yeah, they're saying that they're going to not trade him. Because I heard the Canes wanted him. There's that rumor swirling around.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know too much about like how the deal is working. Is he being greedy, or does Toronto not have room for him, or like what?
I think Toronto has $10 million in cap space at the moment. I'm not 100% sure what they have.
So it'll put him close if they sign him to
anything.
So
if they give him the $8 million or whatever he wants, because he's a maniac.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, Nylander's not worth $8 million. I don't care. I mean, I know he's comparable to the Pasternak stats and all that kind of stuff, but he's not the same player. He won't be utilized the same. He's not. When you have a team like Matthews and Tavares, you don't need to pay a third guy that much money kind of thing.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. He's kind of expendable, in my opinion. I think he's a talented player. I think he's kind of overrated, in my opinion. That might be an unpopular opinion, but I think he's super overrated.
I think he still needs to prove it. That's the thing.
Yeah. So
you can't put up one good year. Like, that's the same thing that Carlson is dealing with, right? Puts up a 40-goal campaign, mm-hmm. and they're like, okay, well, we want to actually see you do it again.
Yeah.
Like, do what you did, and if you have that good year again, then we'll shell out money for you.
Yeah.
I think no team has problems paying an $8 million player, but you got to be worth the $8
million. Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, back-to-back seasons of 61 points, I think, is what he has. It's not like it's screaming off the page for 80 points. Like, maybe that's just what he is as a 60-point player. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
And there's going to be less opportunity in Toronto. It's a stacked...
Yeah, the
line.
Longer he, whatever, doesn't practice or hold out, I mean, the dude's spot is replaced. It's moved, like, it's done. Like, the team will move on from out, like, I don't know.
And Nylander's worth, like, a third of a Tavares.
Yeah.
So, like, now they got Tavares, he can carry Nylander. If he's not there, I mean, they're not gonna struggle with talent or putting pucks in the net.
No, I mean, yeah, he's not listed on the number one power play unit. Babcock already talked about the unit he has in mind. He's not on it.
Scary.
So... I don't really even want Nylander. I don't want any piece of this guy. I think if you can get him super late, obviously the value is there because he will play eventually. I mean, he has to, but I don't think he's going to kill it this year, to be honest. I think he stays around the same. I think he stays into as a 62-point player max kind of thing.
He might be a red flag player that I'm not, and I'm going to steer away from.
Like, I don't know what the locker room feels about this guy. It's kind of weird to have a guy who's like 20 and is like holding out kind of thing, and he has it's like, how does that good for the room? Like, I understand you want to get paid, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, so.
It's a little too early to be holding out for him.
It is.
In my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you're some cog of the team. Like, you're like Trouba or something, like a defenseman they need. But yeah, he's a weird dude.
He doesn't really factor into any of my decision making for the rest of the Leafs.
No, I never
think they all have standalone value.
Yeah, I never am like, oh, this guy hinges on Nylander. It's like, nah. So, yeah. I mean. Yeah, to me, Nylander's just a player on the team, so I could really care less if he's there or not, so it should be fine. So that's the drama there. So we can talk about some preseason guys. You wanted to talk about March or so, I think?
Yeah. Marc Gasol. I am rising on Marc Gasol. We talked about this a little bit before the podcast. You don't like to rise or fall on preseason because it's the preseason.
Yeah, it's so volatile.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't help but take little snippets away from the preseason, though. And from guys that performed last year, performed in the playoffs, keep performing in the preseason, I like that going forward. And Marc Gasol, that top line in Vegas is scary still.
I mean, it's great. He'll have the most points of the top line. Like, Marc Gasol will be the leading scorer of Vegas next year, no question. Yeah, I mean, he's got sneaky value. He takes a lot of shots. He's like, I love Marc Gasol. I think he's a great player.
And when you think about him, where did he break out? Florida, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Playing basically solo. Like, he was second fiddle to all the big guys in Florida. And now he gets a chance to be on the number one line, and he's seizing it.
Yeah, he's a number one. He's a top line guy. Like, I never thought I'd say that about Marc Gasol. Back when, even when he was on like Tampa and then went to Florida and then went to there. Yeah, so the kid's got talent and he deserves to be mentioned as a 75-point player. Like, he's out of control.
He might be a player that I'm reaching on this year. Like, if I come around.
Someone I'm looking at. I don't know when, but I do like him a lot because he takes a lot of shots. He's got banger value. He doesn't hit or anything, but he does take a lot of shots, which is good for our league. So,
yeah,
I do like him.
Like, if I get to, like, a place where that round is going and I see Marc Gasol, like, a couple picks back on my page, like, maybe for the next round, I'll grab him a round early because he's going to perform. He's been consistent since he's been in Florida, and Vegas is still going to be a powerhouse. They have so much talent on that team.
Yeah, I agree.
You have someone that you want to bring up from preseason, although you didn't like it, but...
I think Gio is a huge preseason thing. This just shows that Gio is
Gio
still...
Bernard.
I don't think anyone knows who that is.
Giordano.
What's his first name?
Mark.
Right. I've never called his mother's first name. Drew blank there. Yeah, Giordano. He's going to be the guy there with Hamilton gone. He has like 7 points in the preseason. He's getting all the assists. He's got the top power play unit. I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's going to be. Bounce back to where he should be. He had a dreadful amount of power play points last year. I think it was super low.
Yeah.
I think it was like sub five even. I'd have to look. But yeah, I think he's going to absolutely destroy this year. And no one's challenging for his minutes. I think they'll slowly get Hanifin in there eventually. But for this year, Gio is the guy. And if they run a four forward and Gio power play, which they probably will.
Yeah, I think they will.
That's a lot of points to be had. So... if you asked me, like, a month ago where I was on Gio, I was like, I don't want him. But now that it's my draft day, and I'm like, Gio might end up on my team this year.
A lot of people are calling for Calgary to have a huge bounce back.
Yeah.
And they think that they're going to be scoring a lot of goals. They got a lot of players.
Yeah, like, I like Calgary more than Edmonton this year. I think they'll do better. Ooh. So, obviously, with my hatred to Edmonton earlier than this podcast. And obviously, Gio is going to be a huge part of that, along with another player that you have circled here as well.
Yeah, Elias Lindholm. The reason I have him circled here is because he has supplanted Neil on that top line.
Yep.
And Neil was one of my guys that I also picked.
Yeah, I said I was as huge on Neil, but you got to see where he lands up.
My guys are dropping like flies.
Yeah, they're just toast.
Maybe I shouldn't have picked anyone because they're all going bad.
Voodoo.
But Lindholm is playing on the top line with Monahan and Goudreau. So it is a huge bump for him if he stays on that line. I don't know how much or how – is that going to happen, though?
I think so.
You think so?
I don't think Neil's that good of a player, to be honest, that's just going to suddenly bump Lindholm off a top spot.
Yeah, but Lindholm was never that great of a player. He's not really a top line
forward. No, I know he's a 45-point player, but he played with, like, very mediocre players in Carolina. I think they'll give him a true shot this year. I like Lindholm a lot. I don't know if he's going to explode for anything, but he should at least get 10 more points and flirt with 60. I'd have to see his... Because he should be on the top power play unit too, I'm guessing. Him or Neil, I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I know, like, obviously, Monahan, Gaudreau, Gio are locked.
Yeah.
Maybe Neil probably has to be there as a power play specialist, maybe for shooting.
And I think...
Maybe they put them both there. Maybe put Neil and Lindholm there. Because I know the second unit is usually like Tkachuk and Backlund and stuff like that.
The
so,
grinders.
Yeah.
The grinder power play.
That second line. Something to look at, but I think Elias starts the year and stays most of the time with them. So
on the top line.
Yeah.
That's first, definitely something to look at.
Which is a huge spike for him and huge value for him.
You know who else I'm...
I don't know. I just don't trust Neil. It's tough. If he's not on Pittsburgh, I don't know how to what to do with him.
If he's not on the top line, my assessment of him drops.
Oh, it has to.
Right?
I mean, he has to go down.
I want Goudreau passing to him. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But if that's not going to happen, then he's going to go way down.
Yeah.
Someone else that I am rising on that I didn't put on this list is someone that is already very high. Tavares.
He looks good.
I think he's got 6-4 or something like that.
Probably like that, yeah.
And he's got a bunch of goals. They spread the puck around in Toronto, and like defenders don't know who to target.
I know.
Are they going to Matthews? Are they going to Marner? Like, where are they going? Like, it's just scattered when they're in the offensive zone.
It is going to be a terrifying power play. It's insane. It's like Washington, but with like another OV somewhere.
Yeah.
So like, you can't just block the back door to Ovi all the time because like Tavares is in front of the net or like, so
here
it's crazy. I don't want to draft any Leafs this year, but
I know
maybe I have to take Tavares if I'm in like seventh or something. Like, I don't know what to do.
Well, and here's my rise for him. I was picturing him in the back of the first round. Mm-hmm. So in the 7-10 range, I'm now moving him up to the 4-6 range.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Like overall,
I'd be okay taking him fifth or something.
Even if fourth comes to me, like if it's McDavid, Kucherov,
Crosby or something,
McKinnon.
Yeah.
And then I would put him with Crosby. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say Tavares and Crosby are that fourth and fifth pick that I would have a hard time deciding. But it's weird to rise on a player that has that much talent, right? He's already going in the first round, but I'm rising more because I just see that Toronto is going to be more of a powerhouse, and the preseason has showed what they're going to do. And he is the trigger man. Matthews may be in line for like a lot of assists this year, and Tavares could get 40 goals.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of 5-2 games, 6-2 games in the Leafs, and there's going to be a lot of goals scored. So, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do about Tavares. It's so scary because it's the same thing I think about. The one other league I went in, Tavares went second overall in a points only league
behind McDavid.
But that was kind of a homer pick in my opinion. But it's not like it's a total stretch in my. But I mean, I think you still take Kucherov and a few other players before you take Tavares personally.
You know what? I don't even think that's going to lose your league.
But
that guy that took Tavares second, Kucherov goes third.
Yeah,
I think they're still both fairly equal.
It's still pretty close.
Like, it's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. But I'm rising on Tavares. I like him. He's going to push someone out of my top five, and I hope I'm not fifth because then I'll have to decide if I pick him over McKinnon or Hall or something like that. It would be scary.
Another thing I was going to talk about is going to talk about Florida. Hoffman finally started clicking last game with they're trying to get him to click with.
Was it Bukestad on that line?
I think they're trying to get him to click with Trocheck. I think he's on the second line.
Oh, that'd be
interesting. It was taking him a while. He finally got some points last game. I think he got 2 points. One of them was with Barkov, so I'm not really sure if that was just like a weird line combination. I'm not sure where they're going to end up. I mean, it should be second line would make the most sense, obviously. But
that's very interesting to watch because he was always a number one.
Yeah.
Like everything, power play unit and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I know it's Huberto. Yeah, there it is. Huberto, Trocheck, Hoffman line. That's the second line. So that's a pretty cool line. And they're hoping that Hoffman can click with them because he wasn't clicking for the first few preseason games.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what will develop with that because it is a crazy powerful line, obviously. So, I don't know. I don't really know what I'm trying to say, but the thing is, like,
Watch them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's time's kind of ticking away, but I know that they're saying that if Hoffman doesn't click with them, then he'll have to be moved, obviously, to the Barkov line, which is another jump for him. So,
yeah.
I'm just curious to see what they're going to do with that placement. But as it is right now, he's definitely cemented top six. And definitely someone you should draft. I'm going to be looking at Hoffman for my draft tonight. I like that he takes a lot of shots, probably gets a top power play. So hopefully I can grab him a little bit later.
I would venture to say that this is the only team in the NHL that the top six forwards are going to be drafted in your league.
It's pretty close.
Is there another team that has a better top six than this?
I mean, you could say Toronto, but Toronto has like Hyman or something always somewhere. So
yeah.
So you're like, nah.
Yeah, but like second line of Huberto's on the second line with Trocheck and Hoffman. That's a crazy second line.
Yeah. And then
Dadnoff,
Barkov should be drafted. Dadnoff should be drafted. Bukestad might be a fringe draft, but he's still someone who's worth a draft pick for sure.
That could be the, like, all those players could be 60, 65 points.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Maybe Tampa is close to that.
Oh, maybe.
Because you draft the first three, then the second line is like point. Maybe there's a winger you don't draft on them. But no, Florida's a deep
pretty
team.
Close.
I think Florida's going to be awesome. I want as much Florida as I can this year. will they make the playoffs? I don't know.
I think they will. They have to.
I thought they were going to make it last year. I thought they were going to make it the year before all the time. I think they're super talented. Goaltending is just a huge issue with them, obviously. The revolving door of, well, not the revolving door, the timeshare of Luongo and Reimer, so you gets right. Hot kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, that's one thing I was making sure that I was taking a look at. I wanted to see what Hoffman's use was. And so
yeah, that's
he's on a pretty great line, so I think it'll just take some time and he'll start clicking. Yeah. So.
And a lot of people are saying Barkov's going to have a lot of attention on him this year because he's due for a breakout or he's going to be a top 10 of scoring or whatever. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, yeah, he finally broke out last year with his health and got the 80 points and 80 games kind of thing. So he's definitely going to be a guy that people are going to be targeting. And, I mean, like defensively, people looking at him a lot more. So,
yep.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Other than preseason, I was going to say Detroit almost went undefeated in the preseason.
Oh, plan that parade.
Much to the chagrin of my friend Scott, huge Detroit homer. They got crushed 6-2 by the Leafs one game, but the Leafs were pretty try-hard. They played their whole team.
Yep.
So it's kind of rude of them, in my opinion.
Rude?
They should have let them get the sweep. yeah, with Green being sidelined by liver virus, there was some guy that you were talking about. What was his name?
I don't even know how to say his
Jablonski
name.
Jablonski or something. Anyway, he had 6-6 or something, so he looked pretty good for them. I think Detroit will be a team that kind of like explodes out of the gate. I think they'll probably win a couple of their first few games, look pretty good, and then just disappear to obscurity for the last 60 kind of thing.
They could be. They're all young guys there, so.
Yeah, so I know I won't have any Detroit players on my team. I'm not even going to pretend.
If a Detroit player gets drafted in our league, I will stand up and cheer.
I mean, it's got to be Larkin somewhere, and then someone will high-five Scott for Larkin, I guess.
Is that even going to happen, though?
Oh, he'll take him
somewhere. Larkin?
And then...
I don't think they're going to do anything.
I want to high-five a second Detroit pick. I think that's the true enigma. Because then you're looking at, oh, God, do I take Mantha? Do I take
Nyquist?
Nyquist, liver virus green. Do I take Vanek for the first half of the season, maybe?
Hey, you hyped up Vanek.
It's true. I kind of want him, but I'm not going to draft him.
No. All right, let's move on to...
stream him for the first week.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
There's an interesting thing happening in Carolina that I wanted to bring up about the preseason. We got Slavin and Hamilton on the number one power play... sorry, not power play unit, but number one pairing. Defensive pair there. And Slavin is killing it. Hamilton takes a lot of pressure off these young defensemen because they don't have to be so defense-orientated, I guess. So Slavin's chipping in. He's got 6-6, I think. So that's someone to watch.
Yeah, no, Slavin could be a sneaky, sneaky, sneaky last, well, obviously last defense pick. Yeah, he's a wickedly talented guy, usually known as a defensive forward, defensive defenseman. But when you got a guy like Hamilton out there creating stuff all the time, it allows you to do what you want and look at a bunch more looks. So
yeah,
I think Slavin will be great this year. I'm not sure where he'll end up, but
he was even okay last year.
Yeah, he's even.
He had a little bit of a good run there last year.
Yeah, he did. I remember that.
But as soon as Hamilton came, it was nice.
Yeah, so he'll have second power play units duties with Falk, which is okay. But yeah, he might be an even strength beast this year. So definitely a guy to keep an eye on. If you're in a deep, deep defensive league, he's going to have some value there for sure, just based on the line mates and the minutes the guy gets. So
yeah, third defenseman, I would think about it.
Yeah, I'd have to see how deep the league is. So it's definitely someone that's worth drafting. Other teams that surprised in the preseason, can't really think of too many.
I don't think there was anyone else on the list that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, there's like guys that are obviously...
Oh, what about Keller? You want to talk about Keller. You love him. 80-point guy this year.
He might be, but no, I'm just kidding. I think Keller gets 65 points. That's what I think the team is. Obviously, he has 7 points in 4 games. He looks like an absolute stud. But, I mean, let's just say that Nyquist also has 7 points in 4 games. And you're not drafting Nyquist, so definitely guys to look at. A lot of the guys you expect to be there are there. Like Barzal's got 8-6. There's obviously guys you'll never ever see again. Like, I don't know, Matthew Joseph. Joseph Mateu has 8-6. Obviously, these are just young guys that are getting literally free reign to play.
Yeah, they just get the ice time to see what they can do for the future, not for this year.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, there he is. Dennis Cholowski. Cholo. I like him. Dennis Cholo. He's got the 6-6 with Green Beam down, so...
like you said, don't overreact.
Yeah, I never try to... Yeah, I mean, Warren Fogel has 7 points in 4 games for Carolina.
That's a made-up name. You just made that name up, and I wouldn't even know.
Well, I think of, like, Superbad. Like, what is his name? Fogel?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
McLovin there in Carolina has 7 points. yeah, preseason is crazy. I wouldn't look at any of it, obviously, but it's good for some lineups and some power play looks. That's the only thing I kind of look for is just the... how they do those, but any sort of player like that is undraftable. Don't be like, this guy's making the team because of... I think you can get like 15 points in the preseason and still not play.
Oh yeah, there's a good chance.
Like you could go...
Moto did good last year too.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's crazy how it is, so... Yeah, beyond that, I don't really have too much things to talk about preseason-wise. Hockey starts on the 3rd, so we got less than a week away, which is super exciting.
Yeah. We got a plan for our draft.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, we got to
make our draft board and get the colored markers ready and all that jazz.
Yeah, yeah. You printed off a draft board for us, but the printer kind of let you down.
It fell through.
It fell through. Yeah, the boxes are really small. So today we're going to be getting the yardstick all out and making our own little grid. So that's what we'll be up to all day.
All day. How long do you think that's going to take?
Okay, well, I mean, maybe in like an hour or 2 hours. I don't know.
It'll take like 10 minutes.
You think it'll take 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, well then. That's fine.
All right, before we get into the kudos, at Fantasy NHL Talk, hit us up. Mm-hmm. What do you got this week for your kudos?
My kudos? Yeah. My kudos is Gritty.
Who's that?
If you don't know who Gritty is, you're missing out. Gritty is the new Flyers mascot. He is an internet sensation at the moment. Everyone can't understand him. I'm in the boat where it's like so bad, it's so good. Like, it's just like, he's like a Muppet. He looks like Animal, like, but on cocaine or something. He's just...
It's just the eyes. The eyes are, like, yeah, so big and so wide.
I think he's awesome. I think it's hilarious.
I think it's funny.
I'd give him a high five. I think he's going to... I mean, it's a mascot, people. Like, come on. Like, what do you want?
You want, like a real-life person?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, what? Like, I mean, there's some cool mascots out there. I think I like... The Capitals Eagle is really cool because I'm biased. I really like the Vancouver Shark.
Yeah. It's like an orca, I think.
Oh, yeah, orca, not shark. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the orca. What's his name? Finn or something?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I can't think of any other really notable mascots in the NHL.
Have you seen all the pictures of Gritty where they're like photoshopping him into like horse? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a few of those. Like
there's the Shining, and it's like his eyes are popping through the doorway and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's like a Slender Man thing of him in the back or something. So,
yeah, there's some really, really funny ones out there.
Basically, I just wanted to bring it up as that, like, for people to be like, you know, relax, guys. It's a mascot. Like,
yeah, it's
who
just
cares?
A fluffy
He has
thing
no that, impact yeah. on the franchise. He has nothing. And who cares if he looks like a weirdo? It's supposed to be weird. It's a mascot. Big shout out to the designers of Gritty. I think he's hilarious. Watching him fall that one game was also hilarious.
Yep.
So I hope to see a lot more of Gritty this year. So
he's just a typical mascot.
He's just a goofy mascot. Yeah, he's like, come on, give him a break. So,
I love how it's blowing up the internet.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so crazy. Some guy got a tattoo I saw on the score today.
Yeah, that was
Chaos
funny.
Reigns, and it's a picture of Gritty.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so give us a shout-out on our Twitter what your thoughts on Gritty are. I mean, that's more important to me than your draft at this moment. So if you could give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down on your opinion of Gritty, that'd be fantastic. I really want to know. Like I said, I am a pro-Gritty man. I'm not sure what you are. Are you a pro-Gritty?
I like him.
Okay, so you like him. Okay.
From the beginning, I thought he was fine. I'm just like, oh, he's an orange mascot.
Yeah, exactly.
But then everyone's like, this is creepy.
Yeah, this is the worst. Whatever. Okay, so that's all I got for my kudos is... shout out to old Grits. So,
Grits, you already short Gritty.
Yeah, so Grits.
Yeah, I like that. My kudos this week is actually kind of a continuation from a kudos I had before.
Ooh.
We talked about Hard Knocks for
yes,
football and how they'd go like through a preseason, prep.
Yeah.
With when they went through the Browns this year, they're actually doing it for NHL teams.
Yeah, what's it called?
Behind the Glass, It's with New Jersey.
Okay.
So it could be interesting to see what happens with them. It's already on YouTube, actually. So you can check it out. It's a 25-minute show.
That's pretty short. That's nothing.
And it'll just walk you through like what's going on in the locker room and see how the team's getting ready for the season. I think it's interesting.
I mean, I'm going to check it out. 20 minutes of anything I'll watch, especially if it's hockey. So
behind the glass.
Next week we'll have an opinion for you because I'm sure we'll watch it by then and see if it's worth watching or not.
They must have been listening to the podcast before.
I mean, yeah,
when I said you need one for hockey. Yeah,
exactly. You can't. The success of Hard Knocks is unparalleled.
We have our hands in like everything.
Yeah, it's
just... like magazines are listening to the podcast and doing that. And now we got shows coming up. What we say?
It's true.
Seth, we got our hand on the pulse.
Yeah, players are getting injured because you pick them.
Well, not bad. That's bad. That's the negative.
Hey, man, you can't always be good.
That's true. That's true. All right. It's a short one today, but we got to get ready for our draft. Enjoy the preseason, and we'll talk to you all when the season starts.
Yeah. Next week, we'll give you a preview about how our drafts went down, and we'll have a regular season game in, I think.
Oh.
So we can actually talk about and get some super early the impressions of the NHL in the first game, two games maybe we'll get. I guess we'll get a Saturday, so maybe there'll be like a 10-game Saturday thing. So
there might be a bunch.
Yeah, so you should be okay then. But
we'll give you some projections on how many points McDavid's going to get from the one game.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, mainly we'll go over our draft and rate our busts, best picks, values, stuff like that. Just give you a quick rundown, and we'll post a picture of our draft, I'm sure, maybe on Twitter, so everyone can take a look at what it looks like.
We have the technology.
And yeah, you can always, of course, come on and rip apart our drafts. That's also be cool to see. I want to hear what I could have done better all the time and what you liked. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. So we should have a pretty good week for you guys next week. And good luck to everyone playing their first hockey game.